The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, it is time now for somebody to place another read on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. Paul Howard placed Train Spotting with Irvin Welsh on the bookshelf last week. Mairead Ronan, the podcaster, is with me this week. Mairead, how are you?
I'm very, very good. Thanks for having me in.
No, listen, thanks a million for doing this. So I know kind of you're an author yourself, and I was listening to you with Alison at the weekend. yourself and Jenny were on. This is kind of becoming an annual thing, I think, is it?
It is, yeah. We love going in to chat to Alison. I suppose I always say we grew up together. You know, myself and Jenny and Alison were all working in Today FM for such a long time when we were only young ones. We're still young at heart, Kieran, but not so young in the body part.
Well, what I wanted to bring up, Jenny, is because before we get on to the books, she gave you this amazing present for your 40th.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's one of the best gifts I think I've ever gotten. Now, my husband did give me very nice diamond earrings for my 40th. I should say. But Jenny was very a close second. So it was during lockdown. My birthday was April. It is April, but in 2020, it was the first lockdown. It was only the 2K radius, not even the 5K one. And me being a Northsider.
Remember that app that you could go and you could look at the circle around your house.
So me being a Northsider, her being a Southsider, she was definitely outside of my 2K. So I couldn't see her on my birthday. And she decided to post me a book that she loves with a little note inside. Every month for the year I was 40. So 12 books with a little note inside. Obviously, I did get to see her that summer.
Yes.
But for a couple of months, it was really
lovely.
Isn't that
a great idea?
It is such a brilliant idea. And I've treasured those books. And I've actually done it as well with other people. So it's a really nice thing to do. Maybe somebody listening might steal that idea and run with it at Christmas.
Exactly. And that brings us actually to your choice, because this is one of those 12 books.
It is, yeah. So my favourite book, it's one from that list. It was actually book 10 of 12. So
I didn't
get this one until 2021. And it's called I Feel Bad About My Neck. Lots of women will know it, by Nora Ephron. It's such a brilliant title. It's such a brilliant book because she goes straight into the title when you open it up, telling us, you know, women, our faces are lies, but our necks tell the truth. You know, that's what it is.
There are chicken necks, there are turkey gobbler necks, there are elephant necks, there are necks with wattles and necks with creases.
And if you were to, you know, when you chop a tree down, you can see all, you know, you count the rings and that's how you tell how old a tree is. Well, if a tree had a neck, you wouldn't have to chop it down. You would just look at the neck and you'd be able to tell how old it is. But I just really love this book because it's all just little essays on being female and motherhood, and you laugh out loud reading it, you nod along reading it, and I've actually cried reading part of it. One of my favourite essays in it, because I don't even think they qualify as chapters, but is Parenting in Three Stages. So it just talks about, you know, when you have kids and how it changes. And then, you know, when they become teenagers, that's like...
Not there yet.
It's stressful. It's very, very different and it happens overnight. And then what she also covers, what it was like for parents of old. Like, I don't know, are we roughly the same age?
We're close enough.
Would we be in like the same box maybe?
Yes, we'd be in the same box. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, my parents... Excellent parents, but I'm not sure how much parenting they did. Like, my parents definitely fed me and got me to school and never really asked about homework and I definitely got an odd haircut. But whereas parents like today.
Yeah. It's so much more involved in their life.
It's so involved. And she goes through that in the book. So you're laughing out loud going, well, where did it all go wrong?
Yes.
And then.
Are we too involved?
Probably. We are too involved. I think so. Yeah. And then having said all that in the book, on that last chapter, which I think is kind of my favourite in the book, she talks about, she was an empty nester at the stage she wrote this book.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, your kids will eventually come back and they visit and you realise they're just really cool, lovely people who you get to hang out with. But the one thing that doesn't change is the worrying. The worrying never goes. And I found that quite touching.
Yeah, it's true. I remember somebody saying to me when our eldest was only a tiny and, you know, you're up the walls.
Yeah.
Terrified of everything. And they said to me, you know, it kind of sounds dispiriting in a way, but it's true. They said, oh, don't worry. All the things you're worried about now, they're going to disappear and they're going to be replaced with a whole other set of worries.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Actual real worries.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to be worried about them falling off the couch and bumping his head. It's going to be real worries. I mean, like, when I read this book, I was in the teenager land with my son. He's nearly 18. I can't believe it.
Wow.
So I do definitely have other worries, but I get that. He's a really cool person I love hanging out with now. Yeah.
So that is Pride of Place, Nora Ephron's I Feel Bad About My Neck.
There's one other brilliant chapter in there, which is just random advice. And it's the chapter is What I Wish I'd Known. And it's just like random sentences saying, like, the reason you're waking up in the middle of the night is that second glass of wine.
Okay.
Yeah. If the shoe
have a third.
Don't have a third. If the shoe doesn't fit in the shoe shop, it's never going to fit you. When your children are teenagers, it's really important to have a dog so that someone in the house is really happy to see you. It's great advice.
Yeah.
Really good advice. And the last one that I love from it is there are no secrets, which I think we all need to be reminded of that, because you hear bit of a secret, bit of news, and you go, oh geez, no, I won't tell anyone. And then within a minute,
it's so great, isn't it, telling someone?
It into my veins.
God.
If you've got gossip,
you've just got this.
It
must be what someone who has like real power feels like all the time, you know?
Anyway, it's such a gorgeous one.
Yeah, it's a bit of a script from When Harry Met Sally in it and everything.
Yeah, she's the writer.
Of everything, this book.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. And I've bought it for so many female friends since Jenny bought it for me. So I love it.
We always allow kind of honourable mention of something else. It's hard to pick a book.
It is really hard to pick a book. And I should have said at the beginning that actually my favourite book of all time is not that one.
Oh, right. Okay.
It is Open by Andre Agassi. But the reason I haven't chosen that will become very obvious in a moment.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I suppose Nora Ephron is like my second favourite. And then this would make this one my third favourite, which is The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down by Haman Suman. And he's a Zen Buddhist teacher. Now, I can see you might be thinking this is a bit woo-woo. And that's not me at all. I mean, I don't meditate. I can't meditate. I've tried. I don't journal.
Did Jenny give you this or was it Dermot?
Jenny did give me this.
This is the bang of a book Dermot would give someone.
It is, actually. But Jenny gave me that book. And it's a bit of a Ron Seal book because it does exactly what it says on the tin. It's, you know, it goes in straight away. Is it the world that's busy or is it my mind that's busy? And sometimes I use this book as just this kind of gentle reminder that things are not as overwhelming as I might lead myself to believe they are. And there's just gorgeous practical advice in there. And I think everyone's lives are so busy right now. I mean, I was listening earlier on to News Talk, and obviously, and I heard Jarlath Regan, it was a clip from Jarlath Regan saying years ago, there used to be a program called The News. And that was the only time we got the news. Whereas now, I mean, I have all of the alerts that you can imagine popping up on my phone. And of course, all of it is bad news. And that can all just become a bit too much. And we feel we're busier than we actually are.
Yeah.
So, this book is just, it's a gorgeous one, How to Be Calm in a Really Busy World. I have that in my downstairs loo. So for myself or for my guests, instead of scrolling on their phone, they can dip into that book.
The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down, Haman Suman, is honourable mention alongside Nora Ephron. So that brings us to what you're reading now, which is the reason you haven't chosen Andre Agassi's
book. Yes, the reason I haven't chosen Andre Agassi, because I thought it'd be just too weird if I mention a second tennis book. So what I'm reading right now is The Racket by Conor Nyland.
How far into it are you?
I'm well over halfway. I'm three quarters of the way through.
Brilliant, isn't it?
So good.
Oh, God.
It's so good. And I think it is as revealing as Andre Agassi's book, but it's the story told from the other side. It's like the guys at the bottom. And, you know, it's a story I knew nothing about. You know, I didn't realise that practically 99% of the professional tennis players aren't earning huge sums of money, and they don't have their physios and dietitians and all of that. They might just have a coach, and the coach might not be with them, and they're barely covering their expenses. But like I said, it's such a brilliant view into that world, and told by an Irish guy.
Yeah, it's amazing. Paul Kimmage had an interview with him at the weekend.
I didn't see it.
It's just interesting, the different interpretations. So Paul Kimmage's kind of interpretation was like, the book is a lot about Conor Nyland's dad as well, and that relationship, and Paul Gimmidge's assessment was that he was trying to tell us his dad could be a kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
And Conor Ryan rejected that. He's like, no, that's not what I'm trying to get at. Whereas, and I had a different, I thought he kind of blamed his dad for maybe not being ambitious enough with him, that he always played the percentages and played it safe and that, you know, when he plays Federer and Federer's all over the place as a young lad and then suddenly all those mental shots he's trying are coming off as an adult.
Yeah.
And but I just, it's incredible, the book.
It's so good. And he does say early on that tennis is not a sport that is chosen by a child.
Yeah, it's chosen by a parent. Yeah.
Tennis is always chosen by a parent. So it's so good.
Oh, I think it if you haven't a book to read over Christmas, it is well worth picking up, The Racket by Conor Nyland. But up on the bookshelf is Nora Ephron's I Feel Bad About My Neck. Mairead, it's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Billy Kieran.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Mairead Ronan, tune in not next week. Next week, this day next week is Christmas Day. There will be no edition of the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf, but there will be one shortly thereafter.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.